Thank you for joining us for ACT, No Matter What, the Planned Parenthood Advocates of Arizona podcast. And now, your host, Ethan Cox, Director of Development.
We have a great guest for you today and a great conversation, State Senator Christine Marsh. Senator Marsh is a writer, runner, active member of her church family, education activist, friend, and daughter, as well as mother of two socially responsible, noble, and honest sons. Each of these roles is important to her. In all parts of her life, she always tries to contribute as much as she is blessed to gain. In 2016, after more than two decades in the classroom, Marsh was incredibly honored to be named Arizona's Teacher of the Year. She had the opportunity to travel across the state to see firsthand the issues that public schools were and are facing on a daily basis, and carries those lessons with her now as she serves in the state Senate. As a young girl, Marsh started helping in her father's catering business, doing little jobs like wrapping silverware and napkins. By the time she was 16, Marsh was working 20 to 30 hours a week preparing and delivering food. Her father's business used to cater for a Meals on Wheels type of nonprofit that delivered food to retirement homes, and Marsh ran those routes. Her mom also owned her own small business, as did her grandparents and great-grandparents on both her mother's side and father's side of the family. Marsh learned at an early age the value of hard work, initiative, and honesty. Marsh's values center around education, the economy, and ensuring quality health care access for all, as well as expanding Arizona's renewable energy industry. Thank you so much, Senator Marsh, for joining us today.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here.
Great. Well, let's get going with the great questions that we're going to ask you, and I know you're going to have some fantastic answers for us. So, as an educator, I know that this is a topic really close to your heart. Arizona routinely ranks low, sometimes lowest, when compared to other states' public school systems. What are you and your colleagues doing to change this?
Well, to be clear, while we rank at the bottom of the nation in terms of things like funding and teacher pay, we rank much, much higher in academic ratings. Just want to get that out there. So
right.
We get, as the cliche goes, a lot of bang for our buck here in Arizona. my education colleagues and I are continuing to actively work to raise awareness about what our children and our teachers face. This was something that started in 2018 with the Red for Ed walkout. It actually started before that, but it really culminated there. And we have continued that activism through motor marches and car painting events and canvassing, social media type campaigns. My other profession, my Democratic Senate colleagues and I are pushing really hard for increased funding for our schools. Arizona has a budget surplus, and we could actually invest some of that money into our schools. But the Arizona legislature has systematically and repeatedly through decades made the choice to make sure that Arizona schools stay at the bottom of the nation's funding.
Right.
So we're going to be working hard to change that.
So I have to ask you a question about something you just said. Did you say car painting?
Yeah, we do. like windows, you know, Red for Ed.
I've seen those.
Public schools with those erasable type window painting marker things.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Yeah, I've seen those when I've been driving back and forth between Phoenix. Outside of education, what are some of your other top priorities in your current term?
My absolute top priority is getting my own bill passed, which is to legalize fentanyl testing strips. In Arizona and around the country, we're facing an opioid crisis of just absolutely staggering proportions. And many of those deaths are due to fentanyl being laced into other drugs and unsuspecting people taking them and being killed. My own son was a victim of that about a year ago, 11 months ago, newly married, getting his engineering degree, and you know, had a night of stupidity where he took a street Percocet and it had fentanyl in it and it killed him.
Oh my God.
So that bill is my absolute top priority. I'm also very interested in working hard to protect voting rights, because right now they are just under absolute attack by the Republican majority with bills to disenfranchise voters. And they often, particularly these bills, often particularly target our people of color. And then also general COVID relief. You know, businesses, small businesses and people are really suffering, and there's a lot we could do to offer, support for food banks and rental assistance and, you know, reforming our state's unemployment insurance program. Right. And so general COVID relief.
Yeah, so important right now. Another thing that's obviously very important to those of us at Planned Parenthood is protecting reproductive health care in Arizona, as well as abortion care access. And I know that that's something that you've been passionate about as well. There remains on the books several zombie laws, which would criminalize abortion care in Arizona if Roe v. Wade were overturned. And there was also a fairly disturbing bill that was passed, I believe it was last week, 1457, that's looking to criminalize those who provide abortion care. What, if anything, can you do as part of the minority party to change or get rid of these types of laws?
I think first I wish that everybody could accept that abortion is about freedom and that it is deeply personal and usually complex. And it's a decision that needs to be made, you know, left to the individual. With, you know, advice and consultation from their family and their faith and their healthcare provider and so on. So part of the battle is raising that awareness and making sure that that messaging is getting out there, because bottom line is, regardless of how one personally feels about abortion, it's important that it remain a safe and legal medical profession. And it's ultimately not a decision that somebody else should be making, let alone government. And so, to be quite frank, the path to eliminate these zombie bills, if Roe is overturned, is honestly to elect more pro-choice legislators. That's the bottom line. Republicans still have the majority. It might be a narrow one, but they have the majority, and they're using it to pass bills that, you know, infringe upon women's rights to their own healthcare choices. So we've got to change the balance of power down there.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've consistently sought and celebrated the endorsement of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Arizona. Why is this important to you?
You know, I think on a broad level, it's because Planned Parenthood is a trusted and reliable defender of, you know, not just women, but really everybody's reproductive and healthcare rights. Right. On a more personal level, that was the only health care I had when I was younger in college and before I got married and had insurance and stuff. And I went to them for the general things that, you know, people go for, getting screenings and checks and so on. And, you know, I really respect the work that they do. You know, and it's, and people need to recognize the broader level of sources, resources, I should say, that Planned Parenthood provides. Mm. You know, and I believe that, like Planned Parenthood does, that abortion should be legal and that it should not be the government that is preventing a woman from making that decision for herself. And we know that the strong majority of Arizona voters agree with that. I think it's somewhere around 76% of Arizona's voters agree with that idea.
Yep.
So I'm always proud to earn Planned Parenthood support.
Well, thank you. So I've got to wrap it up on hopefully a slightly lighter note. Obviously, you have an incredibly stressful job. I know these past, you know, few weeks have been beyond belief stressful. How do you make sure that you're practicing self-care, and what are the things that bring you joy and allow you to really disconnect from your work?
The joy is tough for me right now because, as I mentioned earlier, my son died 11 months ago.
Yeah.
But I do work very hard on the self-care, or at least try to, and disconnecting from my work and, you know, trying to find a bit of peace. And I do that primarily through running. I run every day, often twice a day. And I do that a lot through reading. I'm usually reading a couple of books at the same time. And that's about all the emotional energy that's there after teaching and after the Senate.
Right.
You know, I'm happy to be able to run and get some reading in. And those two activities really nourish my soul, I guess, so to speak.
Right.
They really replenish me.
Yeah, absolutely. And so terribly sorry for your loss, and so thankful to you for shining a light on something that you really is such a horrible epidemic right now in our state and across our country. I thank you very much, because I've known people in my life as well that have been affected by opioid addiction, and it's just devastated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you again, Senator Marsh, for taking this time with us. We really, really appreciate it.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it's been so great to talk with you, and definitely my honor. And I also want to thank all of you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this. And if you did, we'll be posting new podcasts every month. So please be on the lookout. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed what you heard, please rate and subscribe on iTunes. See you next time.